All right, Kelly Robinson, good morning, everybody, and thank you. It's a beautiful day, getting better every moment. I guess it kind of depends on where you are in this great state. Things change a lot in Texas, don't they? We are live on this Saturday morning, a chilly Saturday in much of Texas. That is proof of why we suggest don't rush the season. Anyway, let's talk plants. Let's talk about the plants at your place, live at 800-752-4769. 800-752-GROW. I beg your pardon. That is the number to my office. That'll come up in an ad in a little while. I had to hand copy all this down because of the sheet that I have it on is, I see it over there where I can't reach it. The number to call me live right now is 888-256-1080. Don't call that other number with plant questions. Gretchen will be inundated and she won't have the answers for you. Here is the number for you to call right now. 888-256-1080. 888-256-1080. I knew it sounded odd. You know, when I first started, when we first got an 800 number, a toll-free number for the program, or an 888 number, somehow I got digits reversed. And I don't know how it happened. It was 35 years ago, but it was to a fish market. And eventually they called and said, "What is going on? We keep getting these calls for a garden program." And so we got that straightened out. But anyway, now I'm going back to my childhood days and giving out wrong numbers. 888-256-1080. There you go. That's the one to call right now live, please. I will draw a big X over the others, my handwritten note. No, I won't. The whole thing will fall down if I try that. So if we can talk about what you do in parts of Texas that are going to have a freeze or frost tonight. The winds have died down in much of the state, and the things that will add to the chance of a killing frost, are clear skies and no wind, still weather and clear skies. You're not going to have a killing frost. I'm talking about at 36 or 37 degrees if you have strong wind. You're not going to have a killing frost if you have a heavy cloud cover. But you get a clear night and still winds, and you're likely a frost form on car windows and on blades of grass and on tomato plants at temperatures above freezing. So be forewarned, put your frost cloth out over your plants. That's why you buy it. It's just a lightweight gauze-like material that you put down over the plants. Don't be using the frost protectant fabrics that are dark green. It makes no sense. That takes way too much sunlight in the morning first thing and overheats those plants. You don't want that. So that's just a tidbit of what we have here during this hour. I'm going to take my first break so that we can get to calls. We have two calls out of the three lines that we have and love to hear from you. The number one more time, the correct number this time is 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. I'm going to tell you about my book offer, and it's a really good offer because it's a book that you normally would expect to pay $50 or $55, $60 for in a bookstore. But this book is not in bookstores. It's not on Amazon. That was by my own personal decision because I wanted to be able to sign all the copies, and that has been the case since the first printing all the way through. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, and the book is $34.95. The list price of it on the cover is $38.95, but I almost immediately marked it down because I decided, you know what, I know my price went up, but I want you to have the chance to save and to enjoy gardening, and it's a tough time for everybody. So $34.95 is your price, and here's what you'll get. Book that has 344 pages, 840 of my best photographs, a book that was printed in Texas, a hardback printed on high-quality paper, and it's all about Texas. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in Texas. Chapter 2 is a calendar, a 48-page calendar that tells you month by month, 4 pages per month, of what needs to be accomplished in that month, what needs to be planted in that month, pruned, fertilized, and protected, what insect and disease problems are likely to show up in that month, 48 pages. It gets you through the whole year. It's a timeless calendar. You don't write your appointments on it. It's a perennial calendar. And then chapters 3 through 11 are trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. All of that information, just a thorough covering, a year's worth of my life spent writing this book so that you could have at your fingertips all the information you need to be successful in gardening. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, not in stores, not on Amazon. You order it from my office. You either go to my website, neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com. I'll sign your copy as you buy it, and I sign them in the garage. I take them to the post office myself. Or you can order it by calling my office Monday through Friday business hours, and that's where that other number comes in. That's 800-752-GROW. Gretchen will take your order and we'll get it shipped right away. 800-752-4769. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. Satisfaction completely guaranteed or a full refund. And that is my book. I hope you'll get it. I think you'll like it a lot. 87,000 sold now and not one request for a refund. 800, well, let me give you the website. It's neilsperry.com. I want to tell you about the certification program of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. This has been going on more than 40 years. I've had a chance to watch it, to early on be involved with it, to speak on behalf of it. I have loved watching what I have seen. There are thousands of Texas certified and Texas master certified nursery professionals in this great state, and they represent the best of nursery training, the best of nursery knowledge. You need to shop where you see the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association name badge and emblem on the door, and you need to shop where you see Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals wearing their name badges with their names on them. That's your assurance of getting the best in service and advice, timely and updated by professionals who practice the best in practices year-round. Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals, only at member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. I'll have more after this message. All right, Kelly, thank you very, very much. We begin our program with David in North Richland Hills. First call of the day. David, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking our call. Last summer, we did not do a good job of watering our yard. We lost almost all of our St. Augustine, and the dirt is just not very good. It's not receptive to seeding. I was just wondering what would be the best method to get our yard back. We were thinking about getting a load of good dirt and a load of compost and just spreading it and tilling it, and then either putting seed or sod down.
All right. I want to go through a bunch of questions, and just short answers will work great, because I want to give you good advice. I need some facts. Number one, what grass do you want ultimately?
Bermuda.
I think Bermuda, because it requires less water.
All right. How much sunlight does this area get? The shadiest area, how much sunlight does it get?
Well, it gets, the shadiest area gets very little. We have a large silver maple in the front and a good sized red oak in the back.
All right. Bermuda grass needs 8 hours of direct sunlight to survive. Do you get that much in those areas?
Probably not.
All right. Will you need to have turf grass there, Bermuda grass there, some kind of grass there, or can you go to a ground cover there? There's a reason I'm doing this in this order. I get this kind of question so many times. It's not uncommon. Do you need to have grass there, or can you go to a ground cover? Are you willing to go to a ground cover?
Well, under the silver maple in the front yard, we could go to a ground cover for part of the yard, like what's right under that tree. Maybe it's smack in the middle of the yard.
All right. All right. What about the backyard?
Yeah, we could definitely go to the ground cover underneath the red oak because it's kind of in a corner.
The reason I'm asking is then you go back to St. Augustine because it's the more shade tolerant of the two common grasses we have. It is the most shade tolerant grass that we have for most of Texas. In the Panhandle, they can grow fescue and do pretty well with it. So you're back to St. Augustine, which is the dominant grass and which will take over the rest of your yard eventually. So you're back to St. Augustine. That's the reason I went that direction, the sequence okay. that I used. You will have to take some kind of corrective action to keep the St. Augustine from spreading into the sun. And it prefers sun, but it will tolerate the shade. And that's the problem. We used to have a product called MSMA that would kill St. Augustine selectively without killing Bermuda, but we don't have access to that as consumers. It's still out there, and professionals can get it for certain limited uses, but we can't get it as consumers. But anyway, if the St. Augustine did well for many years, I'm going to throw another monkey wrench into the discussion. If the St. Augustine did well and then punted last year, there is a very good likelihood the chinch bugs killed it, not letting it get too dry. It's possible that letting it too dry was the factor, but chinch bugs the last two summers have been just disastrous. And to my other listeners around the state, we broadcast to 33 markets, not including Dallas-Fort Worth. You knew to call, and thank you for calling. But to the rest of my listeners, I live in the Metroplex, and so I'm even more familiar with what David is calling about. And chinch bugs were horrible, and they will give the illusion of dry grass, and you water and it doesn't get any better, so you just assume it was past the point of no return and it dried up. So it may have been chinch bugs, to my point, adding soil and all the amendments and all that stuff, it doesn't need that. It was happy with what was there before. It's just that either drought or chinch bugs killed it out, not bad soil. So I don't know that you need to go to that expense. Then the third factor that really complicates the discussion is, did it die faster and worse and more completely in the shade? If you look at your lawn and you say, well, the worst of it is they're up close to the tree trunks, then maybe it was primarily the shade that killed out the St. Augustine and not the drought or the chinch bugs. So you see, it becomes a really difficult question to answer. But those are things you need to think about. In terms of planting new grass, if you go to St. Augustine, it's only available as sod. If you use Bermuda and are willing to get it started in the sunnier areas and let the St. Augustine creep back in if it wishes, in either case, in Bermuda's case, you can plant it from seed or sod. In either case, whatever you're planting, the soil preparation is the same. The time to plant would be late April or May. You would use a rear, and to my other listeners in South Texas, you could do this in early to mid-April. You would use a rear tine rototiller with the tines behind the wheels. You probably want to rent that. And they pulverize the soil beautifully and make it very fine. Rake it to a good grade that drains away from the house, and then plant your grass, either as sod or as seed, and then water appropriately for the way you have planted the grass, and you'll be all set. By then the soil has warmed up enough. You don't have any of these silly 35 degree nights like we're going to have tonight, and so the grass will take right off for you. I am really pleased with the way I presented that answer to you. It's the best I can.
We appreciate it.
I give myself grades on my answers, and there are times that I say, you know, that was not very well done, but this one, I think I got the facts out in a coherent way for once. So that's good. Not bad for the first answer of the day.
We appreciate your help.
One quick question. Now, sure. It did seem like when I did water that the grass didn't really perk back up. Would that be more of an indication that it was chinch bugs?
Yes, it would. Absolutely would be.
Do we need to put
look
something down
on my website,
to kill them?
David? Yeah, hang on just a second. I'll answer that. If you look on my website, neilsperry.com, I have St. Augustine Diagnostics on the homepage, and then it links to a page that has photos of how they look. Both how the damage looks and then how they look, the insects. They'll show up in late June or July. They'll be in the sunniest parts of the yard as opposed to that shade damage we talked about. They'll never show up over in the shade. And then how it appears. It looks dry, you water it, nothing good happens, and that's chinch bugs. There are insecticides that will control them very easily, usually one treatment a year. Eliminates chinch bugs. If chinch bugs were the only problem St. Augustine had, I would really be recommending it. I like St. Augustine better than any of the other turf grasses we have, but it has a lot of baggage. It's just a bag of problems. But I still recommend it, and especially if shade is involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it has those other problems that I mentioned in that long story I spent half a day or a day writing that thing to get all that stuff laid out for people. So I got to run, but hopefully we helped, and I'm rooting for you. I understand how you feel.
Thank you.
All right, we appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. All right, Bill in College Station with Savannah Hollies. You're coming up next. I grew up in College Station, so once again, I am speaking from familiarity. And Don in College Station, good to hear College Station chiming in. Let me tell you about Fertilome products. Fertilome was a company that I knew when I was a teenager, and that's a few years ago. They've been around that long and a lot longer. It's a Texas-based company right out of Bonham, Texas. I don't think they mind my telling you that. It's the Voluntary Purchasing Group, VPG. They have Fertilome and they have high yield products, and these are sold through independent retail garden centers and farm stores and feed stores. They work with people who own their businesses and who are in your communities. They care about your community. This is a great time to make that first application of lawn fertilizer and weed preventer. Fertilome crabgrass preventer plus lawn food contains Dimension. This is a very fine pre-emergent weed killer to prevent those unsightly weeds like crabgrass from popping up, and also contains a slow release 20-03 fertilizer that will green up your lawn and keep it fed for up to 8 weeks. Apply it now to landscaped areas, established lawns, and ornamental turf, and soon your lawn will be beautiful and weed free for weeks and weeks and weeks. For best results, apply Fertilome crabgrass preventer plus lawn food within a few days after mowing, and delay additional mowing for a few days after the application. Of course, you want to water it in as soon as you apply it. No matter where you live, anywhere in this great state, you will find Fertilome products, and you can count on them, depend on them. Fertilome and high yield products at your local independently owned feed stores, nurseries, or hardware stores. And this one is Fertilome crabgrass preventer plus lawn food with Dimension. I'll have more after these messages. All right, Kelly, thank you very much, and welcome on this chilly, beautiful, sunny Saturday in early March. Cool in much of the state, and if you go in the state, the more likely you are to have a pretty cool night tonight, so take precaution. Some of the plants that are most likely to be damaged by cold weather tonight would be tomatoes and peppers. If you're up along the Red River or anywhere up into the Panhandle, South Plains, I guess I should say, probably people in Panhandle usually have more sense than to plant quite this early in that area. But those are plants that need to be protected with frost cloth, and so be very careful. Basil is as sensitive as tomatoes and coleus. Those are plants that just really get nipped easily. Let's go to Bill in College Station. Bill, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Thanks for taking my call. And I also give you a high grade on that first call. Even though I've been taking care of St. Augustine lawn for a long time, I learned a lot just listening to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have about 10 Savannah hollies that are 5 or 6 years old. We are trying to use them as a screen, and they just don't seem to thrive. They do all right. They're alive, but I don't get the full foliage that we are hoping for, and I'm hoping you have a suggestion of some kind.
Well, I do, but it's not going to be one you like. I think they need to be moved about 50 miles east of you. We have the same problem in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but probably magnified by the alkaline soil that we have. Any holly that has genetics touching Ilex opaca in College Station, like East Palatka, there was one at the Memorial Student Center when I grew up, and it was just a beautiful plant, but it wasn't as full as ones I'd see when my dad would take me over toward Huntsville. And I thought, that is the most beautiful holly. And he said, yeah, well, just don't get too attached to it. He was in the range and forestry department. And that was true for so many of those pretty hollies. And then the Savannah holly is not out of that same lineage, but it's a southeastern holly, hence the name Savannah. And they get sold a lot in the Metroplex where I live and see more plants than I do of the rest of the state. And all of my career, I've tried to encourage people, don't plant that. I think to go to the other coast, Oakland hollies, they're a larger, more coarsely textured holly, but they seem to do a whole lot better.
Since we can't move them, and I would still like to have a screen, could I intersperse some other rather upright plant that I can get, let's say, 8 feet of foliage from? And it's kind of, some of it is direct sun, some is, I'd call it dappled shade.
All right. Thank you very much, Kelly. I think our phone connection dropped. I was talking to Bill, theoretically, about his Savannah holly, and I don't know how much of that was heard. And I heard Jared, as he lined me back up again with a new connection, say that somebody had dropped. I don't know if Bill is there or Don is there or anybody's there. Bill, are you still online with me? Bill is not there. And I don't know how much you all have heard of what I said on Savannah hollies, but I'm not sure that they're going to be very happy with College Station soils. Adding iron and especially a sulfur soil acidifier might help. Make sure you keep all of that off anything. It could be stained like concrete or brick or paint, for that matter. And then, unfortunately, I think you may end up having to change to something like Oakland holly, which is also a rather upright holly. Not at all the look of Savannah holly, but a lot happier to be alongside us. I use needlepoint or willow leaf. They're the same plant, but it's not going to be as upright as a Savannah holly, but it's a goodness bit more satisfied with various soil conditions. So anyway, all right. I don't know if I suspect that probably I'm going to need to take a break here before long, but let me see if Don is still there from College Station. Don, are you there? Don is not there either. Okay, but while we're in this break, I will ask Jared to explain what cutting fig trees means, whether it's pruning to shape or cuttings from fig trees or what it might mean. All right, let me tell you about my book offer, and we'll get into a break. I'll tell you about Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. This is the book that I spent a year of my life writing, but a career learning what I put into the book. Everything I've ever written or said is pretty much summarized in this book, written out in this book. 840 of my photographs to illustrate it, more than 25 multi-page charts and lists and things of that sort. Lots of photos, lots of information, 344 pages, high quality paper, hardback, printed in Texas at Clear Visions in San Antonio, and then bound at Universal Bookbindery in downtown San Antonio. I sign every copy as it sells, and I'm happy to hand this to you and say, this is the best work of my professional career. I really believe that. And that's the reason I chose not to put it in stores and not to put it on Amazon. I wanted to be able to sign every copy as it sells. That was important to me. It's not because I'm trying to make the maximum dollar off the book at all, because if this book had been put in stores, I would have made a lot more money. A lot more would have sold. Sold 86,000 copies so far. My old cowboy boot book that went through a publishing house has sold way beyond 1 million copies. I'm happy with this because I got to sign every copy, and so there you go. And I got to make all the decisions in this book. If I felt it was important to put it in the book, no committee could overrule me. That was really important. I had an editor, Carolyn Sky. She's a dear friend and an incredible editor, and I listened to her, but she was not a committee that knew nothing about gardening. She's brilliant. She's a master gardener and a retired senior publications editor from one of the big universities in California. All right, so that's, and now she lives about 10 miles from our house. And Cindy Smith, the graphic designer, and I have worked for 20 years together on projects. That's the team. We are the ones who made this book for you. Your satisfaction is completely guaranteed, or I'll refund every penny you spend on this book. And 86,000 copies sold to date. Nobody has asked for a refund. I think that's pretty good proof that people like the book. Yours is only $34.95, and I encourage you to get it, and do so soon. I'll be happy to sign it for you and get it to you. That's a sale price. It's marked on the cover at $38.95. So here are the two ways you can buy it, since it's not in stores and not on Amazon. You buy it from my website, which is neilsperry.com. neilsperry.com, neilsperry.com. That's the better place. The other way is to call my office Monday through Friday business hours at 800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769, Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. More after these messages. All right, Kelly, thank you very much. We have a full phone bank right now, and I need to move through them fairly quickly. Two are the calls that we were having some trouble with when I lost my connection. Let me start with Bill in College Station, since we did have him on when the line dropped. And Jared, that would be line two, please. And Bill, I kind of went through this. I don't think you heard me probably, so let me do it kind of quickly. Go ahead and tell me what you're going to ask.
Well, I was going to ask, do you have a recommendation for a plant that is better suited that would give me upright screening?
How tall do you want it to grow, and how wide can you tolerate?
8 foot tall and as wide as it wants to grow.
Oh, absolutely, then. Willow leaf holly is perfect. I have one that I have several. I use that. Second only to Nellie R. Stevens holly. We're out in the country and we have a lot of room. But willow leaf holly will grow 8 to 10 feet tall, and it will get 8 feet wide. I have some that are 46 years old that are 12 feet tall and probably 8 or 9 feet wide, but they've never been pruned. So they could easily be kept much more compact than that with pruning every 4 or 5 years a little bit. I'm talking about taking 6 inches off or something when you prune them. I have a lot of them that I've used at 4 or 5 feet around our deck.
Do you have any idea where they might be available?
Almost everywhere. It's one of the most one of the most popular hollies. It's also called needlepoint holly. Don't let that deter you at all. You couldn't hurt yourself with it if you had to. If you need something more columnar than that, the one I mentioned on the air is Oakland holly or oak leaf. They're very similar, but Oakland is the more common of the two.
Great. Thank you for all your help.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling back. Let's go to Don in College Station also. Don, thanks for calling. Sorry for the confusion.
No worries. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, sir.
Good. Hey, a couple months back, you had talked about basically taking fig prunings and replanting them, and you had given a recipe, and I think it had perlite in it, But I went and I bought your book, but I couldn't find it in there. And so I wanted to call back and see if you could help me with that.
Sure, I will. No, I don't have rooting cuttings. That could have been in there, but that really is not all about landscaping. That's a kind of a side trip. I would root them in, if I were doing it, I would use half sphagnum peat moss and half coarse horticultural perlite mixed together. Okay. That would give you a lot of good moisture holding capacity and good aeration. And the cuttings I would take would be either as they're right before they leaf out, so you're beyond that now in College Station, or maybe early summer, and then trim the leaves, remove maybe 80% of the leaf surface with a pair of scissors or a sharp pair of shears or something, and stick them at that point. They root fairly easily. That's not a problem. The cuttings ought to be about
size. So it's too late right now to do that then, is that what you're saying?
Well, you're kind of in the time that they're very soft and succulent now, so if they haven't started growing much, you could try it. I mean, with figs, you don't have much to lose. You're just losing a few inches of growth off a few tips of branches. The cuttings ought to be about size of your pinky finger, and so you're taking just a probably 5-inch long cutting, sticking 2.5 inches of it in the potting soil or the rooting mix,
and cut the leaves off, you said, by 80%.
That's if you do it in June.
Gotcha.
Late May or
okay.
June, when they're mature, by the time they have gotten kind of leathery. I've done that as well in College Station.
Okay. Well, listen, I really appreciate your help, and I love the, you said earlier, you said, I'm rooting for you. I didn't catch the pun, but I caught it now.
So. All right. Well, double for you. Good luck with it. Take
care.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll come back and go to Trey in Caldwell in just a second. I'll do a quick version of my eGardens ad. It's my free electronic newsletter that comes on Thursday nights right at 6 o'clock, 6:01, 6:02. We send 80,000 of them out. Constant Contact sends them out for us, and they send them in groupings a few seconds apart so that they will not appear to be a mass mailing. They don't hit as many junk mail filters that way, I guess. That's what I have heard. But anyway, that's how we send them out. You'll never get a spam email from me because you're subscribed to eGardens, and you'll never, I never give or sell your email address to anyone. So it is a very safe place to be. eGardens is free and always will be, has been for 20 years. There are 5 stories each week in eGardens. I think you're going to like it a lot, and I think you will be very happy that you have signed up for it. If you'd like to see what it looks like, go to my website, neilsperry.com, same place you go to buy my book, but in this case, you'll click on the eGardens tab. That's where you sign up, but it's also where you can see the most recent issue, and that's what will take you over the top and give you the detail, and you'll say, yeah, I do want that. That looks pretty good. Neil Sperry's eGardens. Sign up at neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com. Again, I want to remind you to shop where you see the name badge and the emblem of the Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professional Program. Now, this is a part of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. There are thousands of these men and women across the state of Texas. They are the state of the art. They are the best trained nursery employees. They have the best knowledge, and they have the best products and service as well. So if you want accurate and timely advice when you go garden shopping, you will look for their name badge. You will look for their emblem on the door of member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association, Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals. And that is at member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. I'll be back with more after this message. Thank you, Kelly. Well, I guess we lost our caller we had on hold. He just dropped. Jared said that he was having trouble getting the question asked as he screened the call, just because the phone kept going in and out. So I'm not going to try to answer it. It was about pecan trees, but I don't have any idea what the specific topic was. In my last minute or two, I want to give you a couple of comments. If you are going to be planting tomatoes in Texas in 2024, the critical comment to you is don't succumb to the temptation to plant those great big varieties. You don't want big boy tomatoes. You don't want beefeater tomatoes. You don't want anything of those great big whopper tomatoes. They don't grow well in Texas. The plants grow fine and they bloom fine, but they won't set fruit. You may get one or two or three tomatoes for the whole season off those big things. There's a physiological tie between a tomato variety's mature size and its ability to set fruit when temperatures get above 90 degrees. It's just almost a straight line graph of the smaller the variety, the better it will set when it gets to 90, 94, 96, 98, 100 degrees. You get the cherry tomatoes and they'll keep setting way into the summertime. You start with these big ones and you'll get just a week or two of fruit set. And that may be three or four flowers that will set fruit. So don't go to those things. They should not be sold. But, you know, people demand them. They want them. Where's my big boy tomatoes? You don't have them this year? Well, I'm going somewhere else. So that's just a word to the wise. If you want to try it and find out the hard way, go for it. And then another thing, when you do your bed preparation to get ready for planting your flowers and vegetables, work a lot of organic matter in. 4 or 5 inches of organic matter. Don't scrimp on it. It should be compost, well-rotted compost, and finely ground pine bark mulch, and well-rotted manure, and sphagnum peat moss. And then if you have a clay soil, expanded shale. 4 or 5 inches of all that total added together and rototilled down 6 to 12 inches. I'll be back next week, same time. Thanks for listening. Happy gardening.